Do you sell stuff on Amazon, eBay, BigCommerce, your own website? Then you need ShipStation, a popular choice of online sellers across Australia. No matter where you sell, ShipStation automatically imports your orders, making them easier to manage. Plus, they help you get the lowest rates from all the top carriers, including Australia Post. Now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days. Plus, get a special bonus when you use the code SHIPPING. To learn more, go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone and enter shipping.
The Run Home with Ox and Marco.
So they're talking about being able to protect...
the scone.
Protect the brain.
Right.
With all this money that we've invested into Meatloaf...
Yeah.
And all this money we've invested into Guinness...
yes.
Surely we could invest some studies into how to protect a player's head.
So you reckon, what, some new kind of helmet? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, it might be. It might be cover your head in beanballs. I don't know what it is.
Righto. Well, stuffing around a little bit earlier, but there is a certain a serious connotation to everything that we are talking about. With Paddy McCartan going down once again, plenty of other players
Angus Brayshaw
finding it very, very difficult to not only get on the park, but to stay on the park. So... we thought we'd give Dr. Alan Pearce, concussion expert and associate professor at La Trobe University in rehabilitation, nutrition and, of course, sport as well, get him on the phone just for a quick chat to see what he is thinking at the moment. G'day, Doc. Thanks for taking our call.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Doc, we're talking about helmets before, and we're half messing around, half not. With the helmets that would be suitable to play our game, I mean, how far are we away from getting something that would make a real difference?
Well, I hate to put it to you, but all the evidence that we know for the last 20, 30 years about helmets doesn't protect the brain against concussion or repetitive head trauma, which may not result in concussion, but still has an effect of moving the brain around inside the skull. So helmets will protect the bone and from fractures and whatnot, but in terms of the brain still moving around inside and causing forces to the nerve cells called the neurons, helmets are ineffective.
Doc, I watched something on Mythbusters the other night. They dropped a box from right up the top of the gravity, came down at 700 kilometres an hour, whatever it is, and inside that box they had foam balls and had all this stuff. They had a light globe in the middle and even the filament, and they were confident that the surrounding support would protect this globe from breaking, which it did. If we've come up with Kevlar that can stop bullets penetrating a chest, surely we can come up with something, if the right research is done, to stop the brain moving once being knocked. If it's a gel compound, if it's air, if it's, we know airbags, yeah. you know, stop serious injuries. Is there something that we may be able to identify?
I think just to sort of clarify the Mythbusters experiment is that you're talking about trying to protect something that is not moving inside that box. And what we have is the brain is like jelly or jello, as they say in America. And that still moves irrespective of how much protection you put around the head. So you still have these stretching, and it's the stretching and what we call shearing of the nerves that cause the problem. And if it's at a high enough intensity, then you get this blacking out of the brain's activity. And then you get concussed completely where you do get all the signs and symptoms. And so it's very difficult to try and design something that's actually going to stop something inside something else, if you know what I mean, from actually moving.
Doc, when I was a kid, we had a motorbike helmet, my brother and I, and we'd whack it on each other's head and we'd hit it with a cricket bat when I was on the head, just for fun, just to see what would happen, like you do when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And we were never concussed or anything. I mean, and I'm sure if my brother hit me on the head with that cricket bat without the helmet, then I would have been concussed, absolutely positive, because he wasn't messing around. So when the doctors continually say, and people like you, and I believe you, I've got no, I don't think most people really understand the concept that the brain doesn't get hurt, because I think we all understand that if you're going to get hit with a cricket bat or with Gary Ablett Sr. running at you with an elbow in the back of your scone, we'd all rather be wearing a helmet.
Well, in that case, you are, because you're still wanting to protect your head, but it's very difficult to try and stop hundreds and hundreds of hits. And we're talking, and I guess there's two different things here. One is talking about the concussion where you see the classic signs and symptoms, or maybe in minor cases there being knocked out completely. But what we're also concerned about is the hundreds and thousands of smaller hits over 10 or 15 or 20 years of someone's football career or any sort of contact sport career, irrespective of the level that they're at. And that's the long-term implication. So there's sort of a, you know, the issue is that we're trying to address both the big hit, so to speak, but also these repetitive small hits and what's their cumulative, you know, implications down the track.
Just wondering about James Ashe, who plays for Collingwood. He wears a helmet at the moment. For players that are wearing those black helmets that have been around for a while, is there any evidence other than abrasions and you know, I guess lacerations and that sort of thing? Do they do anything to stop any brain injury?
No, not from what we're seeing with what we call the clinical evidence. So if you look at all the medical evidence, it's not actually showing any effect on long-term outcomes. You know, you're talking about the NFL, for example, with all their helmets, they still get fair amount of concussions as well, despite their technology and design as well. So, you know, not sure what the answer is right now. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't wear helmets for things like, you know, bike riding, motorcycle riding, and sports where helmets are required. It's just that we've got to think about, the short term, long term, and the big hit versus the lot of small hits.
Doc, Paddy McCartan, and players like him, but more human, the ones who are getting hit brain, you know, head knocks, and they're concussed and they're not playing. We understand that in a way, that, you know, more human types. Joel Selwood, I mean, we look at what he does week in, week out, and you wouldn't be surprised, you wouldn't be blamed if you said he was more alien, the way that he gets up and just keeps on playing. I mean, at the start of last week, I think it was only a minute or so into the game, clearly knocked out, and then, you know, got away from the runners. And I believe what Wayne Carey said last night on telly, that he probably said, let me run off the ground because he'd be more of a chance of playing next week. I believe that. Do you fear for Joel Selwood, the way that he's going about things at the moment?
Well, this is what we're trying to understand and research, is that how the whole variability of how people are responding following a concussion, and, you know, there's no we shouldn't be sort of saying that one person is tougher than the other, because everyone is responds to the injury individually. So it's very difficult to try and single one person out and say that they're tougher than someone else. But certainly, you know, when you're talking about being hit repeatedly, then, you know, we do have to at least raise the concern about long-term implications. But in saying that too, we've got research that shows that, there's lots of people who continue later on in life without any issues as well. So this is why we need to do more research. And I was, you know, listening to you just before with the intro, and we do need a lot more investment in research to be able to answer these questions to you confidently.
Doc, just in relation to that specific point you were just making, that if a player cops a knock, are they more prone, and let's say it's a big knock, let's say they get knocked out and they lose consciousness. Yep. The next time they cop a knock, are they more susceptible to be being knocked out? Is it easier for them to be unconscious the next time? Do you have a cumulative effect?
Yes, and so that's one area that we do know from the research, is that the more knocks you have, the less force is required to get a concussion, and the longer it takes to recover from that subsequent concussion as well. The other thing too is that, you know, there's been some talk about luck and players being unlucky and all that. We know that if you do get a concussion, your chances of getting another injury or another concussion raises between 2 to 3 times. So there is data to show that you are more of a risk of either another concussion or even just another injury. So there's some research now coming out to say that players can be more susceptible at ankle injuries, knee injuries, after a concussion for nearly a year, because we think that there's, you know, obviously not full brain healing occurring, and we need to understand that further.
Last one on in relation to the time. When a player does cop a concussion, what is the ideal resting time before that player should be participating back in contact sport?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I get asked that a lot because we don't really know the answer to that because everyone responds differently. Generally, 90% of players will respond within 7 to 10 days, or recover within 7 to 10 days.
Yep.
But we do have, I would call it, a significant minority of players that do continue on. But in saying that, we need to do more research because even though we call recovery from a clinical perspective, or a medical doctor will say, well, there's no more signs and symptoms, some of the research that I've done has shown that while there are no signs and symptoms, the brain hasn't fully recovered from its activity perspective. And so that we see things like slowing of reaction time, slowing of decision-making, and the brain's electrical activity is not as back to its what it used to be when we tested them in pre-season. So we've got a lot of work to do to be able to answer that question.
Doc, have you done any cadaver research on AFL players?
No, I'm not a pathologist. So,
okay. Has there been any pathology work done on players that have passed and they've been able to do research on their brain function if they've had knocks?
Are you talking about post-mortem or are you talking
yeah,
about...
Yeah, post-mortem, yeah. Players? Post-mortem.
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. We have brain banks in every state of Australia, but we don't have a sports specific brain bank the way they run one in Boston, for example.
Okay.
Doc,
we need one.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're doing it in the NFL. They've done it overseas for many, many years with skiers and obviously...
It would be interesting to see the difference between our game and their game and just the way it is played. Doctor, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, very interesting.
Happy to be on.
The Run Home with Ox and Marco. 3-7 weekdays on 11:16 SEN. Melbourne's home of footy.
Do you sell stuff on Amazon, eBay, BigCommerce, your own website? Then you need ShipStation, a popular choice of online sellers across Australia. No matter where you sell, ShipStation automatically imports your orders, making them easier to manage. Plus, they help you get the lowest rates from all the top carriers, including Australia Post. Now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days. Plus, get a special bonus when you use the code SHIPPING. To learn more, go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone and enter shipping.